What is up, everybody? How you doing? We're back with another episode of the podcast. It has been a long time. It's been 10 days since our last upload. It is September 19th, 2018. It hasn't been that long, Ben. Happy for all of y'all that are, you know, if you're still here, if you're still listening, I appreciate that. We are a one man production studio for the audio stuff. So when I get mega busy with streaming and Destiny stuff, then it makes it hard for me to do the podcast. We're doing something a little bit different today, as I remember that I forgot to mute my alerts. Enjoy that sound. We're doing something a little bit different today. We're doing Ask Bro Man, and this time, in an effort to accommodate some people that have been mentioning the fact that they're always in school for this, or that they can't necessarily, you know, get on voice. We're gonna be taking questions from chat today for the podcast. So, as always, we do this live on twitch.tv/ProfessorBroMan. You can tune in, you can hop in on Discord, ask questions, or you can ask questions in my chat today. So we're gonna wait. If chat's got any questions, we're gonna just kind of pick them up and answer them as we go and see how this goes. Everything is an experiment today. Wow, are we talking to the guy from Ask Bro Man? I haven't seen him in 10 days. Oh my gosh. All right. So chat, what kind of questions you got today? You feeling frisky? Feeling interested? Someone had there were like two or three really great questions before we got started. And so now I'm guessing those people are away from the computer, but yeah. If you have a question, chat, ask it now. Cause if I don't, I'll forget. Okay. This is from Thanos Reaper. He says, the state of where gaming has gone in the past 5 years, popularity wise, where do you think it will go, taking into consideration events that have been happening as of late? If it peaks, what do you think will be the next big community involvement? So I think gaming's very far away from peaking. Here's the interesting thing about gaming and video games to me. Social gaming has been around for thousands of years. you know, if you're a human being at any point in history, you have played a game. Whether or not it was a video game is an entirely different question, right? So you have chess and checkers and, like, I mean, you have every culture in the world has, you know, board games or social games and things like that. And in my mind, video games are a digital evolution of that same sort of sociological behavior, right? So you still have, people who love, you know, games and gaming. And I think that one of the biggest things that is happening right now is that, you know, with the past year and crossover events, and I mean, this is actually a great question because just yesterday, ESPN magazine had Ninja on as their cover for the whole magazine, and, you know, like a whole feature on him and gaming and streaming and things like that, and why gaming is a force, you know, in the world socially and entertainment wise, etc., which is really interesting. It's like big departure from, you know, 5 years ago when, yeah, the conversations of like esports aren't sports and like all this other shit. It's true, you know, that conversation is still there, but because of his crossover success, it changes things in a big way. I don't really understand the part of what's the next big community involvement. aspect of this question, but I think that gaming has a long time to go before it. I don't think it's going to peak and then die out. I think that gaming as a social activity is always going to be around, and I think that video games are going to become a pretty solid standard of entertainment and, you know, participation over the next 2 to 3 decades. I don't think that, I think as successful as Fortnite is, I don't think that gaming has reached like the full market penetration of an additional sport or the social awareness of like some of the more traditional long-term sports. Like even if you want to compare it to something, you can even look at something like rugby. Like everybody knows what rugby is, but maybe not everybody cares about it. And I think that gaming is sort of in a place where, you know, there's still people debating whether or not it's actually a sport, and it has a long way to go before it gets to, you know, the status of something like soccer, football, whatever you think. And with that's going to come, you know, a lot of changes. Once your grandpa is mildly interested in what went down in the most recent, let's say, Dota 2 International, that's when you know gaming has reached its peak. But I think gaming's peak's pretty much total social integration. the follow-up is things like the Twitch community, etc. I think that Twitch and gaming and content creation is going, like, the communities that are being built by various broadcasters on Twitch as a platform, like the future of those communities depends on the broadcasters. Like if you look at what I'm trying to do, or what I'm doing, you know, I've taken what I've learned on Twitch and I'm in the process of building multiple businesses with it, and I'm bringing my community along on that journey. That's kind of one of the big focal points for me. And this podcast is making sure that, you know, everyone who watches me that ever wants to maybe start a business or maybe start making content or whatever, like, can take this journey with me and learn. But when you look at other people's communities, like regardless of size, whether you're like gigantic, like some of the biggest content creators on Twitch and you're building your community around Fortnite and things like that, or you've been around for a long time and you've built a really awesome, strong community, like someone like a CoCarnage, what's next for those communities in gaming really depends on what those creators do with it. I think that the future of Twitch is pretty safe right now in my mind. Like currently, you know, Twitch's primary competitors would be obviously Facebook and Microsoft, with Facebook Gaming and Mixer and things like that. But I think that, you know, as it stands, Twitch and Twitch is kind of the home for gaming, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. So that's sort of that's good. You know, that's kind of where I'm at there. Tang asks, what advice would you have for a teenager who is thinking that they would like to stream professionally? What education should you seek? So this is actually a really good question. I think everyone's approach towards streaming should be the same approach as becoming a rock star or becoming a successful actor. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean like you're going to have a number one Billboard chart, but like if you want to make your living playing music, you better be ready to put in a lot of work and you need to be successful and find a good team. Or if you want to be a successful actor, it doesn't mean that you're headlining every movie and making $100 million a year. Like you can make $500,000 a year acting in, you know, one or two movies a year or whatever. But like that whole mental conversation and structure is like, so what do you do to get there? And I think the first step is putting in the time and the work. So if you're not making content right now, I would start. And that doesn't mean you have to start streaming. It means that you could be posting 1-minute game reviews on Instagram. You could be posting, you know, whatever your PlayStation highlights are from, you know, like whatever game you're playing. You know, you have a sick play, clip that shit, put it on Instagram, put it on Twitter, you know, make that micro content and distribute it and sort of get a feel of like the workflow of what it's like to create content every day. as far as seeking education, there isn't really, I mean, I'm sure there will be in like 5 to 10 years because universities love to make money. But in my mind, there isn't really a, there's not really a standard degree. I think that, you know, the best sort of strategy that happens, or the thing that I've heard most often, is right now from the people I know in the streaming space, there are some folks, like we'll say gigs, who streaming has been the only job or career that they've had. And that's incredible. You know, they got started when they were young and, you know, they didn't have to work at McDonald's or go to school or go to college or things like that. And I think that's possible. And, you know, then you have people like myself, or, you know, I'm trying to think of who else has degrees. Myself or Sevitus, or I believe Giant Waffle, or even Ninja. Like, these are people who completed college. And even though I'm positive all of our degrees are in something else, you know, the education that you can get there, like, that's a nice backup plan. My dad always told me growing up, you have to figure out what success looks like. In order to do that, you basically have two options. One, you can have your dream job, or two, you can have a job that lets you live your dream. So when you identify your goals, so maybe you're like, what I would ask you as someone in high school, and it's probably a question that you can't answer yet, what do you want out of life? How are you going to get there? And how does streaming play into that? You know, if streaming's a way to monetize your hobby and have a dream job, then, you know, go for it. But at the same time, streaming is something anyone can do for free, given whatever equipment they have in their house. So another option or you know, path to that would be like, go to school for finance, get a job at a bank and work 9 to 5, make a decent living, and then spend every moment you have outside of that streaming. Or maybe you learn a whole bunch of stuff from banking and you realize that, oh shit, like, there's this massive need in the streaming community for people who are, you know, fiscally educated to help these broadcasters from making boneheaded, dumbass financial decisions. The really interesting thing about streaming to me right now, is just like YouTube, is that every single content creator is becoming a media company, and a media company needs writers and editors, and it needs CPAs, and it needs lawyers and all this stuff. So maybe, and this is just like really broad strokes, maybe as you grow as a person, you'll discover, oh, I really like this, but I still really like streaming. And you can be the person that sort of ties together whatever two disciplines you're passionate about. I think that for me, one of the things that has made me successful in the past, and I think it's one of my strengths, is I like connecting the dots. Whether that's with, you know, starting a coffee company with my friends and realizing that it's going to do well on Twitch because coffee is an underrepresented product here, but everybody fucking drinks coffee. And all that's on Twitch is energy drinks, or it's, you know, starting to work with different companies in cryptocurrency and blockchain, because that's cutting edge technology, just like Twitch performing is, and it's tech forward, just like Twitch. And so there's all of these dots that you can connect. So as far as education, I would look for something that's passionate and adjacent to streaming, so that you can still be involved with it if you're really passionate about it, and something that pays you well enough education wise for you to continue streaming if that's really what you want to do. Other than that, make content every day, go out there and sort of figure out, like, having this conversation is great, listening to the podcast is great, but I would say that you will learn more in your first 10 to 40 hours of broadcasting than 300 hours of educating yourself about what streaming and content creation is like. So there you go, Tang. That was a fucking awesome question, and I'm loving it. Mind One had a good question as well. With Facebook advertising, do you have a set plan for the types of content you boost, like X dollars for a video, X dollars for normal posts? So yeah, something I have not been doing a lot lately is Facebook ads, because again, like, really sucked into what I'm doing. And honestly, Facebook's kind of Facebook and the podcast as social platforms both sort of were very difficult for me to manage over the past month. And even coming out of Guardian Con, it was like I spent so much time inside of both of those places leading up to Guardian Con that it was like I and I've said this before, and I don't know if I've said it on the podcast, I overextended myself, so I needed a break from all of that, which is important. Self-awareness is super duper important. But for Facebook, like, I, and like Facebook advertising in particular, I feel like having a set budget that you just want to use, and then being able to sort of identify trends and then boosting off the back of those trends. Like, let's say you make cookies and it's National Cookie Day, probably a good day to boost a good piece of content. You know, let's say you make cookies and it's National Health Food Day, maybe pass. I think that it takes a little bit of awareness of sort of what's going on in culture at the time, and like what's hot or like whatever, what's, you know, like what's the community you're targeting, what are they engaging with right now, what makes it exciting, things like that. I've been meaning to share this story, but I haven't. We did a lot of Facebook advertising for Guardian Con, and one of the things that I learned really quickly is if you make a good piece of content, if you make a good piece of content that people are talking about, or if you are involved with someone or something that people are talking about, whatever you do is going to out-index the cost that it takes to put it up there. And I'll say it this way. When leading up to Guardian Con, we advertised every single content creator that was attending, that had like a million followers across all social platforms, on Facebook, on, like, you know, whether combined, right? So we did some for me and for Goth and Nepenthes and Ninja and Dr. Lupo, and like, so advertisements for everybody. The advertisements that we ran for Ninja outperformed everything else we did by a factor of 10 to 20, because of the organic engagement coming off of that, which is why we were so, like, incredibly grateful to have him involved with the event, because it brought so much awareness to St. Jude and the good work that they do there, that everything that we did is really out-index stuff. So if you can spend into trends with your advertising, your return's going to be ridiculous. But yeah, I'd say having a set budget's really, really good. These are fucking fantastic questions. Macho's question. This is good. There's a couple questions about this. How do you stay relevant? It's hard out here. Much love, bro, man. I think that relevance is a question that's on everyone who makes content. It's on their mind. I think that there's a couple of strategies, right? One, I think that staying relevant is easier if you don't box off who you are from the content that you make. Like, let's say you really, really like making... let's say you really enjoy making content for Call of Duty. But you're a low energy person who loves math and science. So, like, it's probably not in your best interest to only, but you, so you're like, fuck, people don't like math and science. I'm only going to post on all my social media about Call of Duty. That makes all of your social stuff, your relevancy stuff, it makes it bland. And like, we were just talking about spending into trends with like Facebook advertising. It's the same thing with social stuff. if instead you were to continuously talk about, you know, math and science and all this other shit that you enjoy on all of your social media platforms, included in your YouTube content and in your streams, anytime something happens in the science world, people are gonna be like, oh shit, this Call of Duty guy loves science. Like, let me tweet him and ask him what he thinks about what Neil deGrasse Tyson thinks about this black hole. You know, it's incredible how the minutia of your life is like, that's what makes us connect with one another. You know, every once in a while on stream, I'll, you know, play ska music, right? Because that's part of my past. And when I play that, there are people in chat who have literally said, holy shit, I can't believe you like this music. This was my childhood. And then now we have an incredibly strong connection. Just because I shared part of myself that is completely irrelevant to what I'm doing currently. I think relevancy comes with consistency and hard work. But I think that what a lot of people struggle with is you cannot stay relevant. They're like, oh, well, fuck that. Whatever I'm making content for is in a lull, so I'm fucked. But in reality, as long as you're connecting with people about other things through that content, you're going to continuously stay relevant in their lives. It's really difficult. It's easy to kill a game. It's really hard to kill a community and an idea. So if you build around yourself people who have similar interests to you that isn't just gaming or isn't just YouTube or isn't just Instagram or isn't just fitness, you're going to find that it's easy to stay relevant because you can make content about more than one thing and people are going to accept it. So the next question is, well, I've been making content for a long time and it's only been focused around this one thing. What do I do? And that's the question I think everyone expects. There's like a magic bullet answer for that. And there's really not. The answer to that question is you have just got to, you've got to put in, you just got to start making the content. Like, you just got to start tweeting like, hey, I made a homemade breakfast for Tata this morning and it fucking kicked ass. Watch what happens. Everyone in your community be like, you cook? Show me that frittata. What's your fucking recipe? I love frittatas. This is what my grandma does. Does your grandma do this? Whose recipe is this? And your engagement just starts going because people are going to connect with you about something that they care about. And they're always going to care about because it's fucking food and people like to eat. That I feel like is the easiest way to, air quotes, stay relevant as a content creator, is just engage constantly with things that you're passionate about. Even though people might not be expecting it, it'll win a lot of people over. This is a good question, a little retrospective question. What would you do different if you had started streaming today versus when you started streaming, given the development of the medium and its reach? That's a great question. So when I started, Twitch was in a place where it was brand fucking new. It had pretty much just rebranded from Justin TV when I started being active on the platform, and I started streaming on it in early 2013. And the way to win Twitch back then was just fucking stream. like, and I know that that sounds kind of stupid, but you have to realize, like, when I started streaming and I told people I was a Twitch broadcaster, everyone asked me, why don't you just do YouTube? Just do YouTube. Why, like, Twitch, like, that won't be there next year. Just do YouTube. So you really did win just by showing the hell up and streaming on the platform, because everyone expected it to die out. Like, nobody was looking at Twitch as a long-term viable option. So when I started, it was really just stream and be active and engaged in the content, and on the platform, you know, and I made a couple choices, I guess, that were smart because I was making really, niche content. Like I was doing speedruns of Borderlands 2, and unbeknownst to me, Borderlands 2 had this massive online forum community, and people were really passionate about that game, and they're still passionate about that game to this day. And I think that I think that helped out a lot, you know. So the strategy for a lot of people who are successful on Twitch now is like they got started on Twitch by being a really active user, and then they started talking. You know, they were either involved on forums, they built a following somewhere else, and then started streaming. So that's kind of what I did. How would I do it differently today? I honestly don't know if I would. I mean, if I was starting right now, and I wanted to use the same sort of strategy, I probably would not start my streaming career on Twitch. I'd probably start streaming on Mixer or Facebook Gaming. Facebook Gaming has had some incredibly explosive growth, and I know a lot of people are like, well, the only person you know is Darkest429, and he got a deal with Facebook, and that's why he's successful, blah blah blah. But as I expected and predicted, there are a lot of other people who have just they started broadcasting on Facebook Gaming without a social push, without assistance from Facebook Gaming, and they're starting to pull consistent numbers that are 100 times more than what they'd probably get on Twitch. And obviously they're getting engagement on the biggest social media platform on the planet, so it's a really smart move. So the first thing I would do differently is I'd probably start somewhere else. And when I was starting somewhere else, I would just play whatever was the most popular. Because the interesting thing about these new platforms is they are not based on as much meritocracy as Twitch is. Twitch is very much, you need to be at the top of the directory or you're not growing. or you need to be close to it. If you look at Facebook Gaming or Mixer, they both have like structural funnels. There's a better word for it, that take viewers and put them into streams that are a little bit different. Mixer has Hype Zone, Facebook has algorithms, you know, that help people discover your content in a way that is infinitely better than just do you have the most viewers? So I would start somewhere different and I would play whatever was popular, because on these other platforms, that's kind of the key way to grow right now. In doing that, I would also make sure to include some variety once or twice a week, very like strategically and habitually. Like I wouldn't just only, and this is more of like a vulnerability protection, right? Like you can't just say I'm gonna stream only Fortnite, because if eventually Fortnite's day comes and it's not the hottest shit in the universe, which will happen eventually, you'll leave yourself in a vulnerable position unless you're purposely building in variety. So what I would do differently now is I would play whatever was extremely popular 80% of the time, grow my community there, and then intentionally build variety into my schedule, because that's how you get people to stick. Again, it's relevancy, right? You're sharing people like, yeah, I love Fortnite, it's a lot of fun, but I also love Persona 3. Fucking love the Persona series. That's why we're doing a playthrough on the side. We're not playing Fortnite. And something like that, built like that, structured like that, probably how I would approach it. But the biggest piece of the puzzle is probably platform selection. That's an option that didn't exist 5 years ago. But it does now. So that's yeah, that's kind of what I would do. Do the thing there. So avoid Twitch and YouTube to grow. I think that YouTube is not optional. To sort of follow up on this. YouTube's not optional. YouTube is your what's the right word? YouTube is your, it's your business card. Like, you have to do YouTube in the content creation space to be taken seriously, especially starting out. And I know that there's all these people that don't have YouTube channels and blah, blah, blah. But like, you look at folks that are incredibly well established in the entertainment sphere, like Will Smith started his Instagram this year. It's got insane engagements. It's doing great stuff for him. You know, like making content on YouTube and Instagram and places like that. Like, I don't think that it's optional, but I think that allocating your time is important, right? Like, making sure you're growing your YouTube channel, okay, while you're focusing on your Facebook gaming or whatever is incredibly important. Because if you ignore it, one day someone's going to be like, why do you have a million followers on Facebook, but you don't have a YouTube channel? You also have to realize that no matter, people get obsessed with numbers, but every single one of those numbers is a person. And you would be surprised at the crossover if, even if you don't have a lot of engagement on one of the your smaller platforms, you're, you know, if you're making consistent quality content on YouTube, it's going to bring people into your streams and onto your Instagram and all the other stuff as well. So I wouldn't, well, I wouldn't necessarily ignore YouTube, and I understand not everybody has the time, but I think it's incredibly important to know how to do on-demand content there. And with the recent algorithm changes, it's actually a lot more friendly, I feel, to people in the live streaming environment to just upload a highlight from your day, because YouTube algorithm right now is prioritizing stuff that's longer than 10 minutes, because you can run more ads on it. So you have, you know, let's say you play through a new story mission in a game, or you have a really great PvP match, or like whatever. That's usually around 10 minutes, which is way better than what you used to need to do on Twitch or on YouTube, which was make a highly edited, hyper energetic 2-minute sizzle reel of your day. You know. Blessius, who is a full-time content creator, says, I agree with YouTube, especially with how easy it is to export content. Exactly. If you're a live streamer and you're not at least putting in the effort to clip your best thing of the day and export it to YouTube, you're doing yourself a disservice. yeah. Let's see. Mind One asks, what advice would you give someone who's been streaming on Twitch for 3 years compared to being new? Short-term goal, go full-time. Long-term goal, leverage community to help start an animal rescue. I have 1,500 existing followers, 70 to 100 subs. Biggest stream is a DJ stream live from a club Saturday nights. It limits what platform can be used. I mean, first of all, you can stream whatever you want anywhere. I'm a big fan of do it and then ask questions later. When it comes to content creation, it's especially live streaming, it's like the Wild West. In most situations, if you're doing your best effort to try and like produce great content and someone doesn't like it, if you're concerned because it's a DJ stream about copyright and things like that, I'm not really sure how that falls under copyright law, but like you doing it would bring awareness to the necessity of sort of managing that. And I don't know. anyway, if you've been streaming for 3 years, that's great. You know how the platform works. You know how to stream and interact with the chat. But I think that probably the most important thing that you might be missing, I don't think that there's any advice that's different from someone who's been doing it 3 years from someone who, like, to someone who's brand new when it comes to growth. Network with other content creators that make similar content from you, as you, and are similar in size. Take your time to engage with your community on every platform. Add value to them where you can. And I mean, if you're asking a question about yourself directly, the fact that you're a DJ and you have really popular streams around music, there are a lot of DJs that want to be on Twitch, and you could be a gateway for them, you know. Can be a good gateway for them. Magic Unicorn asks, how do you decide which events you are a part of, whether IRL or a guest on a podcast? I try to say yes to as much as I can. One of the things that I have to learn, or I have been learning, is in the past year I've said yes to too much. And I have to be more selective with my time. So this is actually a great time to answer this question because it's on the top of my mind. Let me give you an example. I get asked about 5 times a week to this question. I am a student, college, high school, doctoral, that needs to write a paper about gaming industry, streaming. And I'd love to sit down for 1 hour, 2 hours, 30 minutes and have you answer these questions so I can write a paper. I used to say yes to all of those. Now, it doesn't make sense for me to help those people. Because as much as I love adding value to folks, I'm not just a broadcaster anymore. I have multiple businesses that I run. A multi-million-dollar charity event, King's Coast, and we're starting up another business. And so I don't have that time to sit down and help you write your paper. So I guess for me, it's really a value proposition. As much as I like to give without asking for anything back, when it comes to my time, like, this is easy for me. This is free content that goes on, YouTube, and it goes on the podcast feed and things like that. But if I'm, if somebody's asking me to sit down and take 20 minutes out of my day and answer questions for them so they can write their high school research paper, as much as I know that would mean the world to that one person, and I do want to still try and do that occasionally, it is absolutely insane for me to try to do that for everyone, because eventually me participating in that one-on-one high value engagement with that person starts to create a diminishing return for the other million plus people that look for my content every day across other social platforms. So for me, it's very much like, it's cruel mathematics, I guess. If I feel like being on a podcast, I'll be on a podcast. I've said yes to a lot of people. Something I've been trying to do with folks in the podcast space is, like, I'm more than willing to give people 15 minutes of my time, but it has to be when I have time, the second I tell you I have time. Because I don't know when my schedule is going to open up. I don't have an assistant. I don't have a really tight schedule. So really, like, with how much content I make currently, when it comes to, like, events, podcasts, travel, whatever, it's always about what value do I get out of this versus the value I would get out of streaming or making a YouTube content? Making YouTube videos or shit like that. Trying to get a little bit more in depth here and get like really practical. I think for me and for everyone, there are like mathematics behind your economics. Like, you know how much money you make per hour streaming or YouTube video or whatever, and unless something is providing an equivalent level of value to you, you know, for that interaction, it's probably best to stay away. And I mean, I do this with everything. It's been a contentious point. It's been a point of contention between, you know, Amy and I as well, because I even apply that to like family functions, right? Like, it's really hard for me to be like, oh my God, let's just go home for every birthday and all this other stuff, because like, that's just throwing money into a toilet and or a blender. Sometimes, as much as I'd love to do those things, but we still need to do other stuff that's important, you know? Like, maybe I'm going to go home and I'm not going to make any money because we're going home for Christmas, but that has emotional value to me and it helps, you know, shore me up as a person. So I think it's really about being incredibly self-aware about the needs of your business versus the needs of yourself and learning how to sort of weigh those things against each other. And when it comes to gaming events, it really, you need to figure out whether or not, you know, if you're going somewhere to network, like, is it X amount of dollars worth of networking? If you're going somewhere to have fun, is it X amount of dollars of having fun? You know, if you're going to produce content somewhere, are those people compensating you? If they're not compensating you, are you okay with the amount of social reach they're adding to you? Like, things like that. There's just so much math, and it really comes down to, for me, what's my goal set at the time? What is the value out of those things? If you want to look back through this past year, I think it was April, May. I was out of town every 5 days for 5 weeks. I went to the Shorty Awards. I was on Gary V's podcast. I went to PAX. I went to Canada, to meet with Digital Extremes. I went on a business trip, to undisclosed location inside of, I went to North Carolina for a business meeting for King's Coast, and all that stuff happened inside of a couple months because that was a lot of high value outside of stream interactions that I cared about. And then Destiny launched, and none of that stuff, Forsaken launched, and then suddenly the math is just not there for any of that other stuff. So that's how I decide. To make it into bullet points, what kind of value does this provide me? And that's a good question to ask yourself. What value does this provide me? Am I comfortable with that amount of value? And is it in the right direction of where I'm going right now? Is this a lesson on opportunity cost? That's the word. It's all about opportunity cost. Remember, guys, if I missed your question in chat, or if I didn't get to it, you can feel free to ask it more than once. This is, again, you know, it's an experiment doing things like this and not doing everything on voice. Blessius has a good question. Kind of serious question. It's easy to get focused on a goal with your work and passion. Sometimes it takes a toll on your personal life, time spent with your significant other. How do you juggle the time that with time and family and friends? Also, how understanding is your wife with your work time? Thanks. Okay. So, I think that goals are great, but patience is more important. You know, like, I had a goal that I wanted to have 1 million followers by the end of 2018 on my channel. That goal was a goal I had in my head right around when I hit 500,000 followers, which I think was a year and a half ago. That goal started to come into direct conflict with my life over that period of time, as I realized my metrics weren't trending towards hitting that goal. So I had to accept two realities. One, sure, I'm sure I'll get to 1 million followers on Twitch eventually. But it's not going to happen inside of that time frame. Now, if I wanted to force it, I could have made that happen, but it would have had incredibly negative effects on my health, on the relationships that I have with my family and friends, and most importantly, in my relationship with my wife. So I decided that that goal was unhealthy. I think some of the best goals that you can set as a content creator are goals that you have direct control over. And those goals are often elusive to us. Like, I think as content creators, people are like, oh, I want to make sure that I get 10,000 views on my YouTube video every single day this month. I want to make sure I get X amount of subscribers or X amount of followers or whatever. When in reality, like, I think that better goals are things that you have control over. Like, I want to stream 60 hours this week or 80 hours this week. I want to, you know, make sure I put out 8 YouTube videos this week, whatever it might be, because those goals are something that you have absolute control over, and they doesn't require the interaction of another person or community. Because when you start setting goals for yourself that involve like channel growth or things like that, you're starting to get into the realm of no control. You know, not to say that you don't have control over growth, because I think there's obviously best practices like making content, like streaming certain amount of hours a week. But I think if you refocus your goal on the content and on the things that you have control over, all of the numerical stuff will follow alongside it. And if it's not tracking, that doesn't mean you need to work harder most of the time. It might mean you need to pay more attention to the YouTube algorithm, or you need to pay more attention to the times you get online and offline on Twitch, or things like that. You know, there are always things that are completely inside of your control that will affect that other stuff. And it's about finding and focusing on those things instead of just staring at a number and just willing it to go up. And as far as like significant other, how my wife handles my work schedule, she gets it. I think one of the things that Amy and I do really, really well is over, and this isn't about everything. I'm a horrible communicator about most things, but about work, I'm pretty good. You know, I made it a habit to sort of download, like I'll tell her, like, these are the things that are coming up. These are the days that I know I'm going to be working and you're probably not going to see me. You know, and as long as we talk about it ahead of time, there's not usually any conflict. When it comes to conflict between me making content and streaming and all the other stuff and my wife, it is almost always my fault for just not telling her about it sooner. You know, like, you just got to be an adult. And when I forget to be an adult and, you know, tell my wife, hey, you know, this is, you know, I got this stuff coming up and I'm doing this or I'm doing that. You know, when I forget to, you know, initiate that download, you know, it creates conflict, but it's easy to avoid if I just stay on top of it. I think, you know, it's always more important to communicate with your significant other, about what you've got going on. And I think this goes way beyond streaming. Whatever you've got going on in your life that's of a high priority, and communicating about it beforehand makes it depreciates the potential for conflict, right? Like, let's say there's a game launch coming out and you and your significant other are kind of at odds about your gaming time. Communicating 3 months out, hey, I really want to take this week and spend a lot of time in my hobby, you know, in 3 months. What can we do now so that I make sure that you know that you're still number one in my life? So that when, you know, because I would like to take this time, but I want you to still know that you're my number one. So like, let's spend extra time together over the next 3 months, or take a vacation, or, you know, double down on date nights, or whatever it takes to make the, you know, to keep that relationship in a satisfactory state. I think that a lot of people feel trapped in habits, like, oh, well, you know, this person doesn't like X and they're never going to change, so why try? And I feel like that's a really toxic mentality in a long-term relationship. And I think that it always comes down to communicating what you want and figuring out a way to make it work together. No relationship's perfect and easy, and it really just does come down to communication. So that's bro, man, what is your opinion on IRL streams? I'm a hobby carpenter, but as of late, I've been focusing on streaming my downtime. I've often thought of doing carpentry on stream would be cool and could change things up. I don't know if I have a really desire to see that stuff. Everybody wants to see everyone do everything all the time. If you are a hobbyist of any type, whether you're a carpenter or a woodworker or a painter or a sculptor or an architect or a voice actor, like, it doesn't matter what it is. People want to see what it is like in someone else's shoes. So if you were to stream yourself doing carpentry, it would go really well. Interestingly enough, the desk that I'm streaming from was made by someone who was on this podcast who also does woodwork. And he streams his, you know, his projects on Twitch. At the very least, it gets people interested in you. It puts your name on their radar when they need something done. And at best, it could grow into another source of income for you. Another follow-up question in here about something. Oh, how did my wife feel about the 24-hour stream the other day? She knew that was coming, so it was cool. She was, you know, when I got done streaming at like 6:30 and I was sitting on the fucking toilet outside my office, she came upstairs because I wasn't in bed, and she looked in and she was like, "Did you just finish?" And I was like, "Yeah, we didn't kill the boss." And she was like, "That fucking sucks." She was like, "Oh my God, were you up all night?" I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "Please come to bed." You know, so I think that, you know, with between Amy and I, like, we do, we've been together for a long time. And she's only known me while I'm in this career. So I think she has a really strong understanding because we communicate all the time about how fucking weird my schedule gets around launch time. She usually just laughs about it with me, which I think is, for me, that's like therapy, because I need someone to be able to laugh about the fact that every major content launch from Destiny is on my birthday. And like, everyone on Twitch is always like, "Oh, that's great, it's the birthday present." And like, to me, yes, it's fun and exciting and I love it and I love spending time with everybody and that's awesome. But my idea of a birthday is, you know, sitting on a beach getting fucking shit faced drunk and laughing all day, not, you know, stuck in my office all day streaming, you know. And that's something that she and I can laugh about, But when I say that on stream, people are like, well, you're an ungrateful cunt. And I'm like, not really, but thanks. You know. But it speaks a lot to the like emotional support value of having someone who truly does understand and who can, you know, be there when you're like, you know, when you're frustrated with something or when things don't go your way, etc. decorative cake artist cosplay. Yeah. Y'all are on top of it, man. Yeah. Let's see if there's any more questions in here that I missed. If we got time for some more. I'm really liking the vibe of taking questions from chat. This is incredibly chill. Other than Twitch paying the bills, when do you know it's time to go full time? Okay. Tell us your story. This feels like a good thing to wrap up on. So for me, going full time was... It was a little bit of a weird situation. So I had been streaming on Twitch on and off really consistently, doing speedruns for, I guess, 5 months. And then me and my ex-wife moved to Indiana because she got a new job. She finished her master's degree. Which, you know, I was kind of working full-time overtime to make sure we paid for that. And, you know, the Twitch thing was starting to take off. You know, I hit 1,000 followers. I was having 50 to 100 concurrent viewers pretty regularly. And it was a big deal back then, those numbers. So we moved and she and I had a conversation. And I was like, look, give me 6 months. And if I can't. Because we didn't need the money I was making anymore. Give me 6 months. If I can't replace my income with this Twitch thing, I will, I'll scale it back to part-time and see where it goes there and get a job in the field, which was in-home care for adults, So anyway, I got a chance to kind of go full-time with the support, with that sort of support, you know, because my ex and I had sort of built ourselves into a place where, you know, we were going to help each other climb the ladder. Like she was going to take a step up and then it was going to be my turn. In the middle of all this, and then 4 months after that, I got partnered. And then 6 months after I got partnered, she left in the middle of the night. Without saying goodbye, which was insane. So I was sort of put in a position where, like, thankfully at that point, I was making enough to sort of pay the bills, you know, whatever minimal bills that I had. And so I just kept going. You know, I woke up that morning, she was gone, and I streamed for 16 hours. Then I did it the next day, and the day after that, 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 and the day after that. Because I would be damned if I let any more of my life be ruined by this person. So that's kind of my story behind going full time. But I know people don't like the answer because it's simple, but the reality is, you know that you can make it full time because you are paying your bills and you can quit your other job. There's not a magical bullet. There's no secret formula. There's no time commitment, magic. Like, there's nothing. It is, to me, it is 100% a dollars and cents question. Can you pay all your bills streaming? If you can, congratulations, you could probably go full time. If you can't, keep working. You know, and like that, I mean, that is literally it. You know, anyone who tells you anything else is going to be kind of blowing smoke up your ass. Yeah. So, you know, that was my going full time experience, I suppose. And I think there's a lot to learn from that. We're going to unpack it some other day. How do you balance businesses and streaming time, considering I don't have enough time to stream regularly? I mean, again, time management. time management. If you want to make it streaming full time and you have another job, you need to sit down with a pen and a piece of paper and find out where you are spending your time every day, and like a surgeon, cut out every single moment of time that you possibly can to stream. So, like, off the top of my head, that means no more television, no more watching sports games, no more watching movies, no more watching Netflix, no more going out on dates if you're still single. You know, like you do nothing. You know, no more than 6 hours of sleep. You do nothing except your business and streaming. If you want to hear someone who's lived that life, go back and listen to the most recent episode of the podcast with Smashley. She streamed full time and worked full time for 3 years. You know, she has an incredible story about what she's been through with that. You know, what you're saying is I should always stream. I'm pretty much, man. Sleep depends on the person, 6 to 8 hours. I mean, even if you're supposed to get 8, 6 ain't gonna kill you if you're chasing a dream. So how much of your time do you devote to King's Coast? During incredibly busy times, like let's say last month, probably 20 hours a week. Strategy and planning, things like that. During the past 2 weeks, next to no time, just checking in on emails, making sure stuff's not exploding. but yeah, I mean, like the key to all of it with King's Coast is that like we have other people that are operating most, like, you know, the day-to-day is someone else's responsibility. And you know, I obviously want to get there and help with the day-to-day as much as I possibly can. But, you know, King's Coast has a really variable schedule for me. I mean, anytime I've gone out of town for King's Coast, that was 48 hours, you know? So it's really variable and it depends. You know, so the other, you know, Pete and Wayne, the guys that do the roasting, shipping and logistics, you know, they are the sweat equity holders of the company. You know, and me and Corey and Kevin were provided, you know, the initial investment capital and then like the marketing strategy. And obviously, like, we're very engaged with, you know, products and like what we're making and things like that. But like the day to day stuff is not something we could manage. And that's why finding great partners, no matter what you're doing, especially as you grow, is really important, because you need to have people who can do whatever you're trying to do, you know, as effectively as you, that are as invested as you are. All right. We'll answer. Oh, this is actually a great one to end on. Okay. What would your short answer be to having a long distance relationship and trying to stream in a consistent stream? I mean, have a conversation with somebody. This is exactly how Amy and I's relationship started. I basically stopped sleeping. I would stream 8 to 16 hours a day, 12 to 16 hours a day. I would, yeah, stream 12 to 16 hours a day, go to the gym, and then talk to Amy until I fell asleep. So I was running on like 4 or 5 hours of sleep. And that's it, man. It's put in the time. You know that triangle they say for college, right? Like you get to choose two, work, friends, or study, sleep, party. It's like that with stream. Stream, friends, family, sleep. I'm always the first one to give up sleep. Because usually when you're in high stress periods, you don't, like, those periods don't last forever. So you'll be able to catch up on your sleep. And then obviously communicate. All right. And that is going to wrap it up for episode 77. I loved taking questions from chat. I'll be looking for your feedback on Twitter and Instagram for, you know, this episode of the podcast. I really enjoyed it. I had a great time. And yeah, make sure to, you know, subscribe and tell your friends about the podcast. Now that we're going to be a little bit more consistent, that'll be awesome. Make sure you check out all the links below so you can come chill with me on all my social stuff, and we'll talk to you next time.